Everything in life comes down to a choice. That was one of the most powerful things I've ever learned.
I find you fascinating and your gifts and abilities. When did you discover that? What was that journey like for you?
I realized that I could do psychic readings or intuitive readings so I can talk to people about their not so distant past, their present, and their not so distant future. And it was much more challenging for certain members of my family and or certain of my friends. You accept that I'm gay, but you don't accept that I talk to dead people. My vision is to inspire 1 billion people to heal and smile from the inside.
Welcome to the Soulish Podcast. My name is Whitney Apke and I'm your host. On the Soulish Podcast, we talk about the soul journey, the body, soul, spirit connection, and I share my journey as it can be inspiring and encouraging to you, whatever is encouraging or inspiring. And I also bring on guests that are people that have huge hearts for people, that want to help people, that come from all different backgrounds, belief systems, modalities, practices. I have anywhere from body workers, chiropractors, hormone specialists, to psychics, intuitives, mediums, astrologists, past life regressionists, relationship coaches, business coaches. I have it all on this podcast because, let's be honest, the soul journey, this human experience is all encompassing. And I think it's just such an honor and privilege to have a platform that can host so many different people and variety and offer that to you, my soulish family, my tribe. It's really an honor and a privilege to connect with these people on a personal level. Most of them all become friends. And then to also share with you very vulnerably, very honestly, my experiences, my journey, and all of that. I mean, this podcast started 3 years ago, and I was like face down on my bed, just like begging God for direction. And one of the first things I heard was start a podcast. And at the time, I had no idea how to even do that. I had never even thought of that as something that I ever wanted to do. I was always in music. And so music, video, that type of stuff. But I was never into podcasts. I only listened to a handful of podcasts at the time anyway. So I was like, I don't even know. And it was all like big platforms like Oprah, Gwyneth Paltrow on Goop. You know, it was like people that have been doing this for years or have thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars to spend on a podcast, right? So I'm like, how much does this cost? You know, like, I don't even know. I'm a poor person, you know, working full time and barely able to pay rent. So how am I going to do that? You know, had no idea. And here we are 3 years later. You guys have watched me through my evolution, my journey, and I have shared every moment with you along the way. And it's been an honor and privilege to do so. And I've just been so touched with the lives that I've been able to encourage, the inspiration I've been able to provide, whether through my experience or sharing someone else's experience as a guest. And that's just been really, really rewarding in a lot of ways. So I don't know how long I'll ever do this podcast. I feel like forever. I can't imagine not doing this. It's been one of my favorite things for the last 3 years to do. So I love it. It's so fun. I have an amazing guest on this podcast episode today, Seth. Seth is a smileologist. He has an amazing smile. He is a spiritual consultant, a reframer, intuitive business coach, bestseller coach, psychic medium, animal communicator, HR advisor, speaker, bereavement facilitator, and death expert. He likes to say he's a death doula because he really helps with transition. Whether that's even transition like grief, like letting things go, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be like death, but he's really like, he's amazing. He typically works with LGBTQIA CEOs and celebrities, and he is a 3-time number one international best-selling author of Smile from the Inside, From Grief to Grace, and Finn and the Ferocious Flu. Seth's vision is to inspire 1 billion humans to heal and therefore smile from the inside. And he truly does that. Like at the beginning of this episode, we were really kind of just chatting one-on-one, and I decided to keep this into the episode because it is who he is. He is an invitation. He has an energy that is just so open, and you just, it's so disarming and it's so safe. And not everybody has that, y'all. Like, I've worked with a lot of people, including in like the religious Christian space. And let me tell you, not everybody is a safe place, truly. Like, they will try to pretend like they are, but they're really not. And I've had people that have played me the, I am your, you know, confidant. I am a person you can trust and that will, you know, hold the secrets of your heart. And then they pass it out when it matters most, when it's most effective in destroying me, in bringing me down, disempowering me, ruining me, my reputation. I've had a lot of nasty interactions. And so it is rare that I honestly feel like I can open up in such a vulnerable way. And Seth is like one of the few people that I have opened up with about a very painful situation with a family member who is a part of the LGBTQIA community. And it's a regret that I have that I've had for years, for over 10 years. And he really encouraged me on how to approach and to connect and to, what would the word be? I guess heal. Whether it's just healing that hurt, that pain within my heart, and or healing the relationship, you know, but it takes two people to do that. And so he gave me the bravery and the courage, you know, to reach out. And just his words and the way that he communicates and the way that he handles things, you know, so many people don't handle it that way. And he himself has grace and such empathy and compassion for people. And so it is an honor and a privilege to have Seth on this podcast. I truly feel like he and I are going to be good friends. I already feel such a close, you know, kindred bond with him. And I think that when you listen to him and what he shares and how he shares it, I ask him some questions, but we really just had a very raw, personable, off-cuff conversation about spirituality, empowerment, you know, your power to choose. We talk a little bit about mediumship and psychic and his journey and what he has experienced and, you know, all the things that he does and all that. But it is really centric to your power to choose your perspective and how you view things and your power to choose what you experience and how you respond to life. And so this is just such a beautiful conversation between the two of us, just very authentic, very real. And I hope that it inspires you and encourages you. If you want to work with Seth and connect with Seth, he has so many amazing things happening and going on right now. And all of those links are in the show notes. Connect with him. He is an amazing person. You will not regret connecting with him. He is a wonderful human being. And if you're just listening to this, I encourage you to hop on YouTube and watch because he's a lovely person to even behold. So very handsome. But he's just an amazing, amazing human being. And just to understand his full energy, it's like you almost have to just witness it too. You know, it's not good enough just to hear his voice. You got to watch the man talk too. So I hope you enjoy it. And I love you all so much. Thank you for being a subscriber. Thank you for being a listener. If this is your first episode, welcome to the Soulish family. I love you all so much. Here's my conversation with Seth. I'm trying to remember, like, did we meet like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago?
Oh, no, like, but we spoke for like, it felt like 2 minutes. We spoke for like hours. Like, it was lovely.
And you really encouraged me. Thank you so much. Like, it really shifted something in me. And I don't know if you remember, because I know you speak to 1,000 people, but you really helped me with my gay uncle and that whole situation. Mm. Just encouraging me and giving me the bravery, I guess, to reach out. I feel like our conversation initiated like a heart cycling through that I hadn't, like I was blocked in some way.
Yeah.
And like that really helped me. So I just wanted to thank you for that. There is something about you, Seth, that is, it is a, you are like an invitation. Like, I just feel like your energy is an invitation. Wow. And so like, I don't know what it was about even your profile initially. It was like, I don't know why I feel like telling him all about this. Even like, he doesn't probably care, give a shit, but like, I'm gonna tell him all about the thing that has been like holding me back. But it just, I don't know. You're just like this invitation for people to open up their hearts to. And perhaps it's just because of all the work that you've done on yourself, but there was also an invitation there of like, I feel this energy around this person and it feels safe, although I haven't had the best experiences from people in the LGBTQIA, you know, category of people. And it's been scary to navigate because I also come from Christianity where it was like, that's a sin. So I always felt alienated and like separated from, and like, I really want to be able to communicate and have relationships with these people, because most of the people I've ever met have been amazing. You know, they're just as amazing as anyone else. Like, why are these people painted as bad, you know, just from childhood? And so I think you just have this like invitational energy. And then for me, it was like the sign seal delivered was, he is also a part of this community that I feel so unsafe around, yet I have such a desire to share love and to celebrate and to support, you know? So it was a lot of things for me.
I don't even know what to say. I got goosebumps like 5 times. Like, thank you so much. That makes my whole day. Like, I'm almost brought to tears actually. Like, being, that is exactly how I want to be. That is exactly why I do this. Now I'm gonna start to cry.
Sorry.
No, it makes everything just that much more like, oh, this is why I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. And you gave me a word that I think that I hadn't had before. Like, I'm an invitation, and they make people feel like I'm an invitation, and that's, whew, all right. Yeah. Good times.
Let's dive in.
Oh my God. Yes. Please, can you please send that to me? That whole thing, because that just made me feel, you don't even know. I can't even express myself. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. You can use all of it.
Thank you.
And I don't even know if I don't normally add this into podcast episodes. Like, this is just between you and I, but kind of feeling like maybe I should. I don't know.
Do it.
I just think it's a testament to who you are. Like, even before I met you, I felt connected to you, and I felt like your energy was safe. Like, you as a person are somebody that really is supportive of others. You know, not everyone in this industry is truly in it for people. I mean, let's just be real, you know? And you're just one of those people that it's like, you don't even have to speak. I don't even have to meet you. And I feel like, boom, this guy's it. So
I love that.
I know you're not looking for that. You know, you're not somebody that's like, tell me about myself.
I forget how good it feels though.
But you need it. I mean, you deserve it. You know, thanks. It's like, you should be told, you should be shouted from the rooftops of, you know, what an amazing person you are. And I don't even know you personally, but like, you know, I think it's important that we reflect back to people what we sense and feel and what our experiences with them when we meet them, because so often we don't, you know?
Ooh, and you always now have a friend, an LGBTQ friend. Always. Yeah. Like, you have made one, and that is a testament to who you are too. I don't like compliments, so I like to shift quickly. But no, I mean, you were open and vulnerable, and look at where you've come from. Mm-hmm. And you deserve just as much openness and flexibility and inclusivity and all the welcoming that everyone else deserves.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you not only saying all that, but also how you were and who you were and who you are to come to me and share with me all of those, that story, and let me even help with, I don't know, guidance or words or insight. Oh, yeah. You know? So
Yeah,
you
just
have a
even your
friend.
reflection of like you're not a bad person. Like even just hearing, and I'm gonna try not to cry now. God, this is what this episode's gonna be. It's heart-centered, people. But like sometimes, when you feel like you have failed somebody in your life, and you're like, I don't really know how I could have done something differently at the time because I didn't know how to be different. I just knew what I knew, but I also knew that what I knew was wrong, but I didn't know how to navigate past that, Like that's called being human. But like to feel like I just failed somebody that I actually have a ton of love for and want so badly to support and so badly to share love, But I feel like I failed this person so miserably that, like, to even for you to even say, like, I get that you feel that way, but that doesn't make you a bad person. Like, that just it for you to even be able from your place, from your viewpoint, look at me, somebody that you could easily demonize, and you could easily say, like, you're an awful fucking bigot and person, and you need to fuck the right off, like you need to go elsewhere with that, and you could have said, like, yeah, you fucked up. Like you could have been like the loving, tough brother, but you chose a different approach in understanding and having empathy, maybe even sympathy, but empathy for it really felt like empathy. Of like, and maybe that's because you've been judgy too of other people, as most people have been judgy of others. And so we understand what that's like, But I think like that was so healing for me.
And it's, well, amazing. It's also so easy to judge people based upon like their past, as you said, right? And you could easily judge me for so many things. So it's like, and I was just coming from a place of where you needed to, what you needed to hear. And I'm still kind of upset with your uncle, to be honest, like about how he reacted to you when you didn't even say anything that was remotely, I mean, like he pushed you into that corner, right? And like you didn't know better. And so I'm pissed at him. Like I feel like you deserve the bigger apology, to be honest. And he should have known better. He was older, you know?
I think that's when, Seth, we understand that, like me, people can only do the best that they know how, and people only react from like where they're at. And so, like, that's where I kind of I, we weren't planning on this, but I think it's a great conversation because what you do as, an individual, an intuitive, psychic, you do so many things. Like your bio is insane, which I'm gonna read that during the intro, which is before this conversation, as people will see it. So people will know who you are and what you do. But oh my God, like it's just you do so much and you encompass so many things. Like you're so fascinating of an individual and your journey, which I would love to get into. But I think like that's part of where you come from is you understand people. You understand that somebody can only show up how they can show up. And I think that's where the grace for people needs to come from. I think we're so easily offended. And being offended by something is a choice, and creating separation is a choice. Whereas I think we're actually coming around to a place where we're realizing like it doesn't matter what your skin color is, sexual orientation or identity or anything, your religion, your beliefs. I mean, even in spirituality, some people believe in reincarnation, some people don't. Some people believe that there's a heaven, some people don't. Some people believe there's a hell, some people don't. It's like, does that need to separate me and you? No. Like, but we can create separation really easily by saying you're different and therefore you and I can't have a relationship, or we can't communicate because I can't handle the fact that you believe in something different from me. And personally, coming from that type of mentality into this one, which is a lot more accepting of others as they are, it has helped me so much to not only accept myself, but to also accept others and to relate on a more aligned level. Because I think before I would accept someone for who they are, but I still believed that, like, if I was that way, if I was that person, I would be going against God. I would be sinning. Right. So it's like, I still had this like weird separation within myself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot more common than I ever had imagined, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like my husband, for example, you know, he's South African and grew up very, very Christian. And being a medium and gay, like it was all the bad things and all the wrong things. Yeah. And I think he still carries a little bit of that with him to this day, you know?
Yeah. He's anyway, working through it.
He is. He is. And by the way, I believe that this right now can be heaven or this can be hell. Depends on, and it can be a little bit of both at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and depending on how you do the intense work necessary, it can remain hell or it can turn into transition into a heaven, you know?
Yeah. It's really our perspective. Mm-hmm. How we choose to view something is really your choice. Like,
right.
And which is your sovereign, you know, your sovereign ability as a being to choose how you view the world. I think it's Bashar, right? He's one of the many beings that gets channeled. I thought it was interesting because he actually mentioned that there are multiple, you know, versions of Earth. There's multiple different versions of your life that you can choose to live at any time. It just is a matter of what you're in alignment with. And whether or not that is true or not, I think it's true just in the fact of like, you can have no money, you know, you can have like $9.12. That's not specific because that wasn't what was in my account just a few days ago before I got paid. Just being real. But you can have $9.12 and either be fucking miserable and stressed out, or you can just be like, you know what? I know that provision is going to come right when I need it. You know, and that's exactly what happened because that's exactly what I believed was going to happen, you know? Yeah. And I think that's our reality. That's our choice is our reality.
And two things I want to say, and understanding that we have the choice to do anything. Like I can choose to just hang up on you right now. I can choose to just walk out of the house and get hit by a car. Like that choice can, everything in life comes down to a choice. That was one of the most powerful things I've ever learned. And it took me 25 so years to learn that. Second thing I want to say is regarding your 920 or 912, as I travel the world, as I've spent time in South Africa, as I've spent time in India, I have seen that money does not equal happiness. And money has nothing to do or little to do, depending on where you live in the world, with happiness. So, I mean, because when I was in South Africa at, you know, outside of every city, they have camps, let's say, for lack of a better term, and they are the happiest people. They have next to nothing, but they are the happiest and sweetest people. Mm-hmm. They all have cell phones, however, and TVs, but that's besides the point. But they might have a bucket as a shower.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
priorities. So
priorities. Yeah. And your house in India might not have a roof, but you have a 46-inch TV, I guess, amazing. Flat screen. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. You don't even have a roof, but you
have
that.
You have a hookup to electricity.
Anyway.
It's amazing. When I went to the Philippines, like I didn't see that in the shacks that they had, which was really just pieces of wood, you know, the traditional like fencing, that's like the diamond shaped fencing. And then like pieces of tin, like, I don't know if they banged it out or aluminum, they banged it out, flattened it out, like, and somehow put it together, you know, just either tied it together or whatever. And that was their roof. I didn't see any TV, so that's fascinating. But it humbled me majorly by seeing what poverty really, and smelling what poverty really is like. So for me, I, you know, $9.12 as an American is like, oh, you know, what?
It's a scary place.
It's a scary place, but I'm like, no, dude, to somebody in some country, I'm fucking rich. I'm like lit. So
Yes,
I'm gonna,
you are.
have that mentality.
I'm lit.
I'm lit. And I just, it's really interesting, Seth. So I find you fascinating and your gifts and abilities. Like when we were on a call together just to chat and to get to know each other. And I know that you work very closely with your guides. And so I just want to honor them in this episode, but you also have like crazy psychic abilities, mediumship type of abilities. How did you come into that? How did you even, like, when did you discover that? What was that journey like for you? Because that's just fascinating to me.
Yeah, it was a process. I'm not going to lie. Some people have, like my husband has had his ability since he was 4, but that was not my case. I, late bloomer, so to speak, when I was around between the ages of 18 and 23, I lost 5 or 6 of my good friends. And the last one I lost was the most difficult for me because she was the closest. And I kind of felt like she was around me. And I thought it was normal at that time. I was also fascinated by the Sixth Sense and all that stuff. And I knew that mediumship existed, but I didn't really, I thought it could only happen to other people, right? Like I thought it was, but I did wish that it would happen to me a lot. So when she died, I had this 2 weeks where I think she was around me the entire time. And finally, after 2 weeks, I spoke to her in some way, just like kind of talking in the air, which is what I encourage a lot of people to do. Just like, hey, I miss you. I love you. You're welcome to stay around me as long as you want. I want you to know that I'm fine and I will help your family. And that's what that was. Now I know that's what she wanted at that time, right? But at that point, I just felt it. And then nothing happened for about 10 years. I moved to LA from New York, and I, within 2.5-3 years of one another, I broke up with 2 different people. And I said the same thing, that I deserve so much better in my life. Like I literally rolled over the second time and I was like, oh my God, I'm saying it again. And I was like, maybe I should finally learn this lesson. And then I kid you not, the next day, everything opened up. And when I say everything, it all started with mediumship. So every medium who can speak to the deceased loved ones or animals is a psychic, but not every psychic is a medium. So I don't know why they started with me. They're like, boom, now you're going to talk to dead people. So that was how it happened. And I just couldn't turn it off. And I didn't know what to do. And I didn't have mentors. And, you know, it's not like I can call up Long Island Medium or like John Edwards or something or James Van Prague. So at that point, I met them all later on, but this was my journey. And so it took me about 9 or 10 months to come out again, like the second time in my life, in air quotes. And it was much more challenging for certain members of my family and or certain of my friends, which I thought was so strange. You accept that I'm gay, but you don't accept that I talk to dead people. I guess it's a little bit more far-fetched. So it has been the gift that keeps on giving, right? So it all started with mediumship. And then as I studied and practiced more, I realized that I could do psychic readings or intuitive readings. So I can talk to people about their not so distant past, their present, and their not so distant future. Then I started doing Reiki, and then I was like, oh my God, I can do energy healing. That's pretty cool. And then I started doing prenatal readings. And then a couple of years ago, I found out that I could speak to animals. I didn't know that until you're connecting with a cheetah in the middle of South Africa, you know, like things like that. Like
everyday life.
I mean, now it's everyday life, but then it's been the most amazing journey. And I look forward to my next couple of gifts. I just feel like because I broke that pattern at that time or realized it, the universe was like, okay, you're now ready for the next part of your life. And now, you know, my vision is to inspire 1 billion people to heal and smile from the inside. So that's what I do. You know, and I combine the corporate America, because I've been there for 20 something years. I combine the coaching degrees that I have, and then this beautiful, like intuitive and psychic, these gifts and abilities. And finally, I found a way to meld it all in one, you know, to
That's so
help
cool.
coach people to heal. Yeah, actually, I actually have an upcoming program. I don't know if I can say this
Yeah,
now, but so
absolutely.
I am putting the final touches on my first kind of intuitive healing grief program and course for people.
Wow.
So it's for kind of ambitious people, influencers, celebrities, and business owners or entrepreneurs who are overwhelmed or paralyzed by grief. That could be from death of a loved one, death of a relationship, death of an animal, human, doesn't matter. And help them to overcome their grief, really, and emotionally give them tools, right? To provide them tools. I have a couple methods, like healing methods that I've created, and really help them to find their smile again, which is just amazing. And so it's kind of coming, it's finally coming together. It'll start in May, but we'll have lots of more promotion on that. But yeah, but you're the first person I'm kind of sharing it with in a
Thank
public
you.
setting. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. That's so amazing. I'm so excited to see that happen.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. I'm so excited. I love that about the work that you do, because it's you heal from the inside out, and that's the focus, is that someone would heal to the point that they would feel joy again, you know? And like, that's not easy. You know, a lot of times you're on your healing journey and you're still like, ugh, you know, like really feeling it. And I love that your work is also grace. Like one of your elements is grace. And one of the definitions that I learned early on in ministry school, in Christian ministry school, was one of the definitions of grace is power to overcome. And I love that you're, you know, you got smile and grace and all of the things, and it's just amazing. So I'm excited to see all the things that are going to unfold in your life and all the other gifts as well. I
Thanks.
wanted to kind
Thank
of
you.
pivot, if it's okay,
Yeah.
because I'm very curious in your experience of
Okay.
mediumship. When we cross over, I don't know if that's like the right word.
Sure.
Enter, exit one door, enter another.
Exit stage left. Yeah.
Exit stage left, enter stage right. I find it fascinating because, you know, I mean, I pretty much feel like reincarnation is more of a possibility than we get one shot. Just feels more in alignment that I've been on a journey, and that's not even from like any of the past life regressions that I've had or anything, but I actually had a dream, Seth, not too long ago, maybe even last week, where it was so real, dude. I can't even tell you. Like, in the dream, I'm just staring at myself in a mirror, and I am a beautiful African American woman, or African,
Oh,
but it's,
no
I don't know
way.
if I was in Europe, like, or, you know, I say African American because that's just what we say here, but like,
Sure.
you know, beautiful African black, you know, woman. And I had like a gorgeous, like, I have envy, like hair envy after this dream, gorgeous afro. And I was twisting and braiding it and putting it up in like this gorgeous, like, updo. And that was it. That was the dream.
Where were you? Do you know what century you were in, or what millennium you were in? Do you feel like it was many, many centuries ago?
Like 16, 1700s, just
I knew
by
you would
like the
know.
dress that I was wearing, somewhere around there,
Awesome.
Only because that's like, I only know because I studied that era. I love that
I love
era.
it.
I mean,
Nice.
Outlander, come on. Everyone
Okay.
wants a, you know, a
Yes.
Claire and a James Fraser in their
Yes,
life,
please.
but
Yes.
but I, yeah, it was like the dress I was wearing was very like 17, 18,
Okay.
somewhere
Okay.
hundreds, but I don't know enough of the history, especially like European history of, you know, blacks in Europe and what that was like, because it seemed like I wasn't like a worker or a slave. You know, I hate to say that, but like, it didn't
Understand.
seem like I was like that. It seemed
You were a
like I
person of
lived there.
influence and
Yeah. But I wasn't
nobility.
like well off, but it just seemed like maybe middle class, considered middle class back then. So I don't
Nice.
know, maybe it was like more 1800s, but what it was, what hit me out of it, because there was like, I said nothing, I didn't get anything like monumental out of it, like no like massive like whatever earth-shattering revelation, but it was more of like just me being a woman in a different form and how and just being able to see that whether that's true or not. I've never seen that woman before. I've never seen that face before. I clearly saw my face, my nose, my lips, everything, my ears, everything. I like
Amazing.
memorized that woman, like in
It's
however
amazing.
long that dream lasted. Yeah. And I just think it's fascinating. So anyway, all that to say, like I have a feeling that reincarnation exists, but I don't, there's no way for me to prove it. But you as a medium and working with people that have crossed over or communicating with them at least, what has been your experience of what that is like based off of the people that you've connected with?
I guess first I want to say I believe that you had like a past life kind of dream. And there's lots of lovely meditations on YouTube that will help you if you want to explore that. You can literally take 20, 30 minutes and go into a nice little meditation and kind of explore that more and wake up and like speak, you know. So I'd highly recommend you do that because that's amazing. And there are, I also have friends that can do past life kind of readings for you. So let me know.
I will.
But I believe the way that it's being explained to me is that we are souls, which are energy, right? So whether we reincarnate or not, I do believe in reincarnation. I do believe human, animal, animal, human, 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 boy, girl, gender, gender, whatever. I believe that because we are this soul and energy, even as I'm talking to you right now, I could still be connecting with someone else who was in my life 20 or 30 years ago, and perhaps I passed away before I was born. You know, I could still talk to them at the same time I'm talking to you, but I can be talking to them through the mediumship space. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I believe I've actually had souls say to me that, yeah, no, I will reincarnate to the next dog. I've had dogs say, I'll reincarnate again for you. Or I've had humans say, I will come back as like a great niece or a niece or something to this person, but I will be back. So I've had people who don't say anything about reincarnation, but I definitely 100% believe in it. And I believe that it's our choice wherever we go next. I believe it's our choice whether we wait, you know, one human year or 200 human years. You know, and when I say human, I mean human existence on this plane, right? Because I
Right.
don't know. I don't think time works the same up there,
Yeah.
or wherever it is, all
Up there,
around,
down there, to the
whatever,
stage
whatever.
left, stage right. That's so cool. I guess also just with like psychic intuitive, I know for me, from like human design perspective, I understand as a manifestor, I have more of like a closed aura. So I'm able to kind of block things out more easily. I don't know if you're more of like a generator or manifesting generator. I'd put you more in a manifesting generator category, but I have no idea if you've even done the test, but it'd be interesting to figure out.
I haven't done the test, but that sounds was
Yeah.
from what I've heard, it sounds
Because you're so creative. And perhaps you have more of like an open aura, but I didn't know if that was something that like is a lesson or like something that you've developed over time where you've been able to turn it off or tune in when you want to. Has that been like something that you've developed over time? Or do you still get like, whether you want it or not, you're getting pinged, little bell ringing.
I think so. It used to be way worse. I feel like I can manage it better now. I do tend to say to my spirit guides, you know, when I'm in a session, please, by all means, right? When I'm in a meeting, like an HR meeting, probably not. Or I've also, when I'm doing podcasts or public appearances, yes, please, if I'm not saying anything, something correctly, yes, please come in. So I've kind of given them instructions and I've kind of set boundaries. I also say though, if it's absolutely necessary for them to hear, then they can come through. Like I had a deceased loved one once. Her name was Linda. She's amazing. We went to this, she and I would go to this beautiful place, this deli, Sunny Grill, I think in Marina Del Rey or Playa Del Rey. Anyway, it was so much fun. And the owner and her, I know, were friends, but it was like 3 or 4 months after she passed. And I was in there and Linda came to me and she's like, she doesn't know. You have to, this was before I started like really doing mediumship. This was like, as I was kind of coming out, she's like, you have to tell her that I'm dead. I'm like, what? Why would I be the one to tell her that you're dead? She's like, cause she's wondering and she doesn't know whether to call or who to call. And you need to tell her.
Wow.
So my heart starts, this is what happens. My heart starts palpitating and I'm like, oh, and Linda won't leave me alone. She's like, I'm not gonna leave you alone until you tell her. I'm like, oh my God, really? I can't even finish my sandwich. She's like, put the sandwich down and do it. So I went up and I was like, hi. I was like, I don't know if you remember me. I used to come in with Linda from time to time. She's like, oh my God, yes. Like Linda hasn't been in for a while. And I was like, yeah. So I said, so she unfortunately passed. And she's like, oh my God, I knew that it had come back, but I didn't know that it had passed. And then she like started to cry. And then I like took her to the side. She's the manager of this restaurant, right? So she took me to the side. She's like, here, come over here. And I was like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. She's like, no. I didn't know who to call. I didn't know what to do. And so it was a beautiful, it ended up being a lovely time. And she was so thankful that I told her, and I just didn't think she needed to know that, oh, Linda's bothering me to tell you, you know? So omission sometimes is a choice.
Yeah.
But I have experiences like that all the time, but there are sometimes that people need to hear things. Mm-hmm. And I have been in many situations where I'm like, I think, can I just, you know that I'm a medium, right? Like I always start up, or I'm intuitive. They're like, yeah. I'm like, can I tell you what I'm feeling right now? And they're like, yes. Like most people are very receptive. I've only had a couple of like, no thank yous, but people are usually very receptive.
Yeah, which is, it's awesome that we've come into that time where most people, no matter what your background is pretty open, you know, to hearing.
Yeah.
Because I think the scary, you know, psychic that you go into her like lair and her like crystal ball is there and she's like, oh, you know, it's like, or the psychic hotline where, you know, she's like telling you all the bad things and, you know, late at night. Why does it have to be at 1 in the morning?
Yes.
But we're kind of getting away from that, right? Where people are realizing like, actually, we're kind of all really intuitive. It's just some people are way intuitive and are way connected and have other abilities that are supportive and helpful to people. You know, they're not meant to tear you down. They're not meant to be scary and doom and gloom. Although sometimes it may be a like, hey, check, you know, have a check on that because that's something that might express itself. And what I understand as an intuitive myself is that I don't read anything that is not in their energy. Like anything can change in the future because everyone has the ability to choose, as we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. But I can pick up on things that I'm sensing in their energy, even if it's developing, you know, in current development, not yet made manifest in the physical realm.
Right.
And so I think that's what's important for people to understand is like, if someone says, I'm sensing something going on here, you know, something in a relationship or something in your physical body or, you know, in your career, your purpose, it should resonate at some level if it's true, you know,
or because listen to been, it.
Yeah.
No matter
because
what.
It's something that is, you're probably sensing, maybe you're ignoring or stuffing down or self-abandoning in a way and you're not acknowledging it, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
You know, it's there, you know?
Absolutely.
So I think it's important. It's really helpful. It's supportive. It's supposed to help you on your journey, not diminish you or disempower you in any way, you know, or divert you on another path that is not helpful or in alignment, you know?
And I do my best to, I always ask too, like if I'm receiving information, I always ask them, can they hear this? Because sometimes they're like, no, they're not ready yet. For example, someone just gave birth and I'm, you know, like 3 months prior and I'm like, oh my God, you're gonna have another child. Like they don't, sometimes you don't need to know that. Sometimes you just don't need to know that. So I ask always like, are you sure you want me to tell that? And they're like, yes. I'm like, okay. Or I'm sure, are you sure they want, I can, they are ready to hear this and they'll say yes or no. And I even do that with my own clients sometimes. Like, I'm like, oh, and they're like, no, don't say that. But I always, I always tell people what they need to hear. And I also feel like sometimes I'm given information that is purposefully wrong. For example, I have one client. He doesn't understand what I do, but he's an executive over at Amazon, and he loves like getting together like once a month or once every other month. And he is one of my most favorite clients because we talk about Jeff as in Jeff Bezos, and we talk about like other people by first name, and Reese Witherspoon for like Reese for Reese Witherspoon, so, and it, like that type of deal. So it's really fun. But sometimes I get really clear information from him. I'm like, don't worry about that executive, that other executive, because he will be leaving. And he didn't believe me at all, right? 6 months later, boom, he literally sent me. He's like, oh my God. He's like, you are right. But then there was like, he moved and there was going to be another offer on his house. And I was like, yes, you're going to get it. Yes, you're going to get it. They keep telling me that. And then he literally texted me last week. He's like, so that didn't happen the way that you said. It might happen a different way, but it's not happening the way you said. And I'm like, listen, I really want to say I don't have a crystal ball, but like I want to say that they're giving me that information because people need to hear something sometimes just to hear it so that they're not focused on it, because he needed to calm down. Like, he was stressing about this whole thing. And I don't, like, I don't, I'm just seeing, I'm just telling him what I'm seeing, right? I'm like, oh yeah, no worries, blah, blah. But now he gets to calm down even more, knowing that, XYZ isn't happening, even if I'm wrong. And so I'm doing my best not to think about it in terms of right or wrong anymore, just like, because things change as well,
It's more of like what you need to hear at
in the
that moment.
moment. And sometimes you need to hear no, or you need to hear yes, right? Just to keep you going. And then they're like, but you said, I'm like, that's what you needed to hear in that moment. You know, that's what you needed to hear, right? You know that you wanted to hear a different answer. So anyway.
That's really interesting. And I was going to ask you, Seth, like, why would they share information with you that you don't need to share? Like, what purpose does that serve?
You mean like if I know someone's going to have a girl or something, and like
Yeah,
they're
are they
like,
going to give me
no,
sass? I feel like
they're
sass is coming my way for asking that question.
not ready. Oh my God. All of my guys are super sassy. No, most of them are super sassy.
I just
They're
immediately felt sass is coming my way after asking that. They're
totally.
like, okay, honey.
Honestly, they're like, we know better and best. And sometimes they just tell me because they like, sometimes they're just so open about it. And then they realize, oh wait, that was too much, too soon, or too,
Got it.
what else am I hearing? I actually heard that's a really good question.
Okay. Thanks, y'all.
And I'm also hearing that sometimes it's good that I know. Like, I have a friend, a really very good friend. Now, I shouldn't say that. I have a friend, I don't want to be specific, but I have a good friend that I believe she's going to have another child, but that's the furthest thing from her mind right now. But I'm like, it's happening. Does she need to know that? No, I've told her she's going to have three kids before, but she's like, I'm good now. I'm like, okay. Like,
It's more
she.
like context, right? Is what they're providing you because it's not like they just turn off and turn on. They share with you the information that they have and it does, and they'll let you know what specifically to share with them, what that person is ready to know. Got it.
And it's different. Like, spirit guides are different than mediumship, right? So like, sometimes if I'm doing a reading, the deceased mother or deceased loved one will stick around and want to kind of help my guides do a reading or a more intuitive reading. But other times with my guides, they usually feed me like words. Like, they feed me the sentences, they feed me the words, and sometimes they feed me, or I receive kind of images. But when I'm working mediumship or mediumistically, it's always like other senses. It's very rarely do I have someone like sitting on my shoulder telling me, do this, do this, do this. But I did have one client once. It was a husband, and he had died maybe 6 months before, and he's like, how are my kids? And I need to say it just like that. And then he said, I know she has eight questions, And we're going to answer them, but in like backwards order from what she has put down. I'm like, what? So I told her this and she's like, okay. And then I literally went through all 8 questions. Now, was it perfect? No, but it was like, I was like, oh my God, like, what are you doing? It was crazy. And she's like, how could he possibly know my questions? I'm like, because he's in that other place.
Wow.
Yeah, that's like when you know, you're like, I mean, I doubt myself all the time, but like when that things like that happen, I'm like, yeah, like I am a medium, aren't I?
Oh my gosh. That's so cool. And even I just want to kind of state something, and I don't know if this will come across in the audio, but as soon as you start talking about them, the audio changes. So that's why I just put in my other one,
no
because
way.
It, yeah, your voice starts to get different. It's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Is that just because I get way more excited, or
no?
Or you think, that they're like with us?
I think that they're with us.
Nice.
So I just want to acknowledge that and ask you guys if you could clear the audio too. but I think that's really interesting. Just like in how that they work and how the different, I don't even know if it's a modality or skill or abilities, you know, how they work and stuff like that. I think that's fascinating. And for all the other things that you do, because you honestly do so much, like you've written so many books that are like best-selling, and like you work with the LGBTQIA community, and it's just really cool. Like you do so much, you're involved in so much. And so what do you feel like, I don't know if you can even summate this, but like, I know that the majority of the work you do is really geared towards helping people heal. Mm-hmm. Is like, what, how else would you summate like what your main purpose is on this earth in this lifetime?
Well, aside from living, right? Like to live is my purpose. To really, really live is my number one purpose. But yeah, no, it is to help others essentially overcome adversity from their past, right? Heal it once and for all, so that they're not carrying it around with them, and to help people go through challenging, difficult times. I'm also a death doula, right? So
yeah.
Helping people through the toughest of times, the darkest of times, or so they feel, and also helping people move through what I like to call move through grief and recognize their own healing patterns or their own patterns that they go through with adversity. Because I believe that once we know our own patterns, I think we can be unstoppable. And then I think grief becomes a more intentional, intuitive, productive, and effective space. Like people know and can learn how to help themselves move through their own adversity, grief, loss, obstacles, death, without sacrificing anything else and without taking it out on anyone else. And then again, discovering or finding their smile again. I mean, some people call me a smileologist, mm-hmm. and I didn't give myself that term or that word, but to help someone find their smile again is so true. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I do. And even I'm like, I have friends of friends. I have good friends, and I have like a set of friends that are those people's friends. They call me. Sometimes they pay me. Sometimes I'm like, no, it's fine. But they call me to help them through adversity and loss and breakups and death. And, you know, I just have this uncanny ability to understand on a level of like what they're going through and what they need to hear. And so sometimes it's me coaching, and then other times it's the intuitive guide part of it, mm-hmm. you know. Also, they're telling me to plug this, which is so fascinating. You mentioned bestseller clients, or you mentioned bestsellers. So hopefully March 17th, my next children's book comes out. It's a series. It's a second in a series, my Smile Adventure series. It's called Scout in the Series Split. So that'll be hopefully my fourth international bestseller. Fingers crossed, toes crossed, everything. But I've also decided that so many people get stuck writing or don't write, and I want people to write the bestseller within. So I've created a 10 Steps to Bestseller program, which is launching at the same time in May as my other course. And I want to help people not only write and finish their book, but also then become a bestseller. So that's coming as well.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's, I'll give you the links for that, but that's, there's just, and they wanted me to say that. I was just like, eh, it's fine. Don't worry about it. But I, again, but it's a way to heal, right? Like I help people write what's inside them and get it out, or write their stories and get it out, or write their memoirs and get it out. So it's another part of healing. I think it's all like, I didn't think I would do that because I'm like, nah, but I mean, I've already helped half a dozen people do it, including myself. So it's
amazing.
It's something else that I do.
It's amazing.
But I swear I'm a normal human. I mean, I, you know, like I walk just like everyone else. I just have really high, my parents call them, they used to call them balloons. And I was like, that is so insulting. Like their ambitions and their intentions for my life. But lately my parents now are understanding that if you don't dream, you're never going to accomplish them. So they now see them as like intentional, like goals or objectives. And I hate those words, but objectives and goals, I totally believe in them. I wish we had a better word for them.
I know.
It just sounds so corporate.
Yeah. Sounds so dry.
It does. It does.
It's like a dry Chardonnay.
And I literally was kicking myself a couple of years ago being like, why have I been in corporate America for 20 years? Like, why? Like, there's got to be a reason why. And I know the reason, but I was always like, why do I know HR? Why do I know operations? Why do I know how to run a company or, you know, a larger company? Like, and now I understand, like, because I want to help those people, because I feel like those people that are up to big and better things and creating bigger and better legacies. Yep. I want to help those people overcome the grief, and I want to help those people write their books, and I want to help those people because they affect so many others directly and indirectly.
So good. So good. Before we sign off, I wanted to see, not putting any pressure or anything, but I just wanted to see if your guides had anything that they wanted to share to anyone who's listening to this, if they had anything that they were like, we need this person or that person or people to hear this.
Okay. Yeah.
I just want to honor them.
Yeah, no. It's funny. The human me was like, oh my God, she wants something. I'm like, oh, let's give her something good. You, but then they're like, no, honey, like she is way beyond that. She's about helping other people. And I'm like, yeah, sorry. I'm sorry. I did not. Yeah. So they want to pull from like what I've been talking about, what we've been talking about. Right. So the idea that you can heal from anything is really important for people to hear. For people to know, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's trauma, rapes, incest. I don't care what it is. You can heal to a point where you can either feel grateful, feel blessed, or use it to pay it forward, or use it to change and shift your purpose. Everything happens to us for a reason. And what that reason is, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. What matters is overcoming it, is surmounting it, is conquering that and not letting it hinder you and preventing you from being the most unique you can be or the best you can be. And I always tell people that we need people to understand that they have hope, that they can heal from anything, because if not, there's no hope for humanity. Like we need that to survive. People need to understand that there are patterns and methods to help people emotionally grieve and move through these processes. So no matter what you're going through, you will get through it. You will get through it. It's yes, it's sad. Yes, it's lonely. Yes, it's depressing. Yes, it's exhausting, all those things. But you will get through it and you can get through it. And there are so many resources and support and people, and not just people like me, but anyone, coaching, therapy, whatever. And good friends, like they're saying never underestimate the power of a good friend, and the importance of a good friend. Also, that everything in life is a choice. Again, pulling back to what we were talking about, right? Like, it's so important to recognize that everything in life is a choice and comes down to a choice. And even when you're not given a choice, right? Like, you have choices after whatever happens, right? Like, that that's more for trauma, I presume, that what they're saying. And that death, they're saying, is just the beginning to some better place that we can't even, you know, think about. Like, I get so scared, and I'm a medium. I get so scared about death at times. And then I'm also, I get so like, WTF, like, why am I so scared? Like, I know it's a better place. And I believe that we all surrender and resign to die at the end. I mean, apart from people who go in quick accidents, but I believe that we resign to die and we choose to die at the end. And that's, and how powerful is that? You know, so it's gotta be a better place than this.
Yeah. It's all a choice, and we're really so empowered in our ability to choose our how we respond to things that happen and to either be a victim or not. Like, that's a choice. Like, you are not a victim of your circumstance or your situation or people. Like, I think we're realizing just how empowered we are, how divine we are. And so thank you. That was really awesome. I definitely want to hit you up though for a reading later, but I'm going to pay you for that later.
Of course. Maybe, maybe not. No worries.
but that's just awesome. I think it's a great reminder, and somebody needs to hear that, you know? So I fully agree with that. Seth, where can people find you to connect with you?
Sure.
I'll have links in the show notes, but just so anyone who's listening, where can they find you?
Sure. IamSethElliott.com is the best place. You can do IamSethElliott.com/courses, or you can get this. Like, I just created the deathexpert.com/apply. That's to find time with me. And Seth Elliott Santoro on pretty much every TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. I think those are... I also have a YouTube channel called Life and Death with Psychic Seth. So if you want to check that out, check it out.
Cool. Thank you so much, Seth, for your time.
Yeah.
This has been so amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I've been honored and humbled to be here.